Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Woodruff. Welcome to the Pastors Getting Fit podcast. On today's episode, I just had a live Q&A that I answered on Facebook, where I was just on the live video and fielded questions. So hopefully you get something out of this one. And then next week, we will be back to the regular just me interviewing a pastor somewhere regarding some fitness topic. So really quickly before we jump into this, three things. Number one, if you are on Facebook and would like to be part of a group of pastors pursuing their fitness goals, just come join our Pastors Getting Fit, same name as the podcast group. Just request to join and I will be happy to add you. Secondly, if you're enjoying this podcast and you are getting something out of it, it would be awesome if you would leave a review for it wherever you listen to your podcasts, and or share it with a friend of yours or somebody who you know who you think may also enjoy it. That would just really help me in my mission of helping more pastors pursue their fitness goals. And then thirdly, I'm an online fitness coach. So if you ever find yourself kind of stuck in progress, fitness-wise, whether that's if you're struggling to start or you're struggling to continue, feel free to shoot me a text, 251-635-8055, and we'll set up a time to just chat and see how I can help. All right, hope you enjoy this. Let me know what you think. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm here for the live fitness Q&A that I do on Wednesdays. Usually I do it on lunchtime, but I was out running around a good bit today, so I am doing it now. So I usually get like a couple of questions like on the post that I'll do that just said ask fitness questions like that people have in the groups and stuff, but today there were a ton of questions, so I'm going to go ahead and answer these questions that have popped up here. I've written them down so that I have them, and then I'll answer them, and then if you have any questions, any additional questions, just go ahead and put that in the comments and I will answer it here live. And if I see it later, then I will answer it then. All right. So Brad said, what is your opinion on classes like Body Pump? So that's like a low weight, high rep, isolating muscle groups, reach set, high cardio. My opinion on it is it depends. All right. I'll take this kind of, first of all, it depends on your goals. If you are the kind of person who is struggling to get into any kind of fitness habit, and for whatever reason, you're excited about that and nothing else, and therefore that's the thing that you'll do, then I think you should do it. But if the question is more of like, is this the best thing to do for building muscle and strength? Is it the best thing to do for losing weight? To either of those questions, I would say no, especially if you're just getting started. So if you're getting started, the biggest thing you're going to want to do is really build like a foundation of strength and muscle first, even if you're trying to lose body fat, because the more muscle mass you have, the more, the higher your metabolic rate is, just means like the amount of calories you burn. So, whether you're trying to build muscle, build or lose body fat, you are going to want to build a solid kind of foundation of strength first. And the way to do that is lower rep, higher weight training. So something around the 5 rep range is what I will always recommend to somebody first, unless they have like some kind of significant injury that they need to rehab. So what I would say is go in there and do like, you know, you want to do heavy sets of like 5 is the way you want to go about this if you're really trying to do one of those things. So what I would say is like those kind of programs should be reserved for people who have already done that, who enjoy that kind of training and want to like do more of a bodybuilding approach, you know, with like just some general cardio fitness in there. Or if you're really excited to do it, those would be the people I would suggest. But if you're asking if it's like the optimal way to go about any of the things I've already mentioned, I would say no. That's my opinion on it. let's see here. So Brad also asked, in running shoes, how do you tell the difference between breaking the shoe in and it's just a bad fit? He says he has some that he's put it about 15 miles in and is just not sure they're wide enough. So what I'd say is I am not an expert on running. If I'm coaching somebody who is trying to run, like, you know, we'll run, and I've ran before. I know how to do this. I'm how to coach somebody through like general running type things. But if somebody's training for like long distance, like marathons and things like that, I'm not the coach for them. I'll refer them out to somebody else who does that kind of thing. But just kind of some general advice on it would be, I mean, go in, get fitted. Don't just kind of like go in and go buy whatever your general shoe size that you wear, like going out and about, you know, you don't want to, this is like a shoe for a purpose, not just a shoe for leisure. So like go in there, get like professionally fitted by somebody, you know, go to maybe a higher end store, even if you don't plan on buying something from them, whatever. And get fitted. And then, I mean, this is just me. You might not want to do this, but like, if it was me, I would probably jog around like the store, like in the shoes, just kind of see him. But again, I am not an expert on this. I see Darren here, but he's running a marathon soon. Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So yeah, man, like, actually, if you want to comment, I know Darren is a marathon runner. So if you want to comment on this, feel free to jump in and give your answer, because I'm sure you'll have a better answer on something like that than I have. But yeah, I mean, something like that, just like making sure that they're, but I mean, again, even jogging around the store in some shoes is not going to be, not going to be comparable to running 15 miles, obviously, unless you're going to spend a long time in the store. So yeah, I would just suggest doing that and then listening to whatever Darren says. Okay, let's see. Lewis says, what's a good way to build muscle without agitating the shoulder? Well, this depends on what do you mean by agitating the shoulder. So I don't know your circumstances. If you have a legitimate injury, like if you have a shoulder injury, obviously that's going to be different than like if you're just, if you have little pains now and then and you are nervous about agitating that. If you have a legitimate injury, I'm not going to really approach that. If a doctor has told you not to do certain exercises, don't do those exercises, even though sometimes doctors are just saying that to cover themselves from lawsuits and such. It's still good, like if they say it, to kind of stick to that at least for a little while. So if you have like a serious injury, like a rotator cuff injury or something like that, or you've torn like a delt, like your deltoid muscle or something like that. Yeah, of course, like that's going to be different. I'm going to answer this just like assuming that you're talking about like you get some pains and aches there sometimes, because I do too. So like if that's the case, the way I would suggest doing it is, let's say that like, I don't know what exercises aggravate it. So let's just say that you go in there and you do like a standard overhead press, which is like the best and most common like shoulder workout, right? So like exercise. So you go in there, you're doing that, you get like a little pain or a little bit of, you know, just kind of like tenderness in one or both of your shoulders. So like I personally get this, have gotten this for a long time, like in my right shoulder. So what I do, I just, to be honest, like if it's a little bit of pain or discomfort, I ignore it. I push through it. It goes away. If it gets particularly bad, then I'll scale back. I'll still do shoulder presses, but instead of doing like heavy sets of five, I'll go to like sets of 10 or more to just kind of keep it busy. Cause I'll tell you this, the worst thing that you can do is stop training your shoulder. So like, you know, obviously, again, I'm not talking about serious injuries. I'm talking about like pains and tweaks and like things like that. So like if you are going in there and you're feeling like that discomfort, don't stop training it. The worst thing you can do is stop training it, because you're going to, it's going to get worse and just have no reason to heal. I mean, you know, but when you're constantly doing things, your body's like, okay, this is a priority. You know what I mean? So it's going to work to repair that as it's constantly being used. So I would say, you know, if it's getting to the point where it bothers you a lot, discomfort wise, because yeah, he said without agitating the shoulder, again, assuming that you have some like minor to moderate, like shoulder discomfort or pain, still train it, avoid the exercises that make it really bad. You know what I mean? If you can do a shoulder press without too much pain, but then you try to do like side lateral raises or something that just annoys the heck out of it, just don't do those exercises. You know, but don't give up on training the shoulders altogether. And try your best to keep like an overhead press and a bench press in there, because those are two of the big compound movements that you want. So that's how I'd answer that. If that, feel free to message me, Lewis, and we can go into more detail on your particular situation. Lewis also says, I've lost 98 pounds and well, I need to know how to help my skin maintain firm. So he's lost a good bit of weight. I mean, first of all, props, man, 98 pounds is nothing to scoff at. That's pretty impressive to lose 98 pounds. Usually, I don't know how long it took you to lose that, but usually when you get the loose skin issue, it's a fairly rapid weight loss. You know, because the reason that people get like a loose skin issue is because when you gain body fat, like as you gain more fat cells and fat cells grow, skin cells also have to grow to expand to allow room for that fat. And then as you lose the body fat, especially if you lose it quickly, but sometimes even when you lose it more slowly, not in everybody, it just kind of depends on the person, but In some people, as they lose that body fat and those fat cells shrink, they don't go away, they shrink. But as those body fat cells shrink, the skin cells also start to shrink, but they don't always necessarily shrink at the same rate. Like if you think about like something's pushing out on it, it's going, like when you're gaining the body fat, those cells, they have to expand or you're going to like rip, you know what I mean? But as they're shrinking, there's not as much of like a pressure there. So there's not, they don't always like shrink at the same rate, fat cells and skin cells. So that's when you wind up with a loose skin. And honestly, I mean, there is like a surgery for it. You can do that. That should be, in my opinion, the absolute last resort that you should avoid at all costs, unless you have to. The best thing that I would recommend, it depends where the loose skin is, how effective what I'm about to say is going to be. But honestly, in my opinion, the best thing that you can do is to build some muscle there. So like, if you think about this rationally, you've shrunk the fat cells, the skin cells have shrunk, although maybe not to the same extent. So there's some loose skin hanging there, wherever it is. So if you can build some muscle in that area to kind of push back against that skin some, obviously it's going to tighten it up some, and it's going to tighten it up in a much more desirable way from what most people want to look like than if it were more body fat again. So I would encourage you to do things to build muscle there, i.e. resistance training, you know, so you're going to want to do some form of that, and you're going to want to do that to target that area. You cannot target body fat loss, but you can target muscle gain. So, you know, if you, let's just say you've got like, if you've got like loose skin or whatever in your arms, get your arms a little bigger. And if you're a woman hearing this, I know Lewis, you're not a woman, but if you're a woman hearing this, you might think like, okay, like I don't want bigger arms, but honestly, like at this point, like if you've lost a lot of weight, you've got like a lot hanging back here, or you've got like it on the stomach or whatever, your options are pretty much either leave it there, like gain some muscle to kind of like push back against it a bit and help it tighten out, or like have some kind of surgery. I mean, that's just, I am not aware of any, there are creams and certain things like that, you know, different oils and natural products and things that you can try to help tighten it back up. I am not educated enough on what those are to tell you exactly like what to go out and buy. I haven't tried them myself, so I wouldn't do that. But I would say that my go-to, like if this were me, I would absolutely be trying to gain more muscle in those areas. All right, so let's see here. Jermaine says, how do I determine the ideal amount of water to drink in a day? I learned the hard way last week it's possible to overhydrate. Yeah, it is, but I'm not sure how to figure out that sweet spot. So you have, if you figured out the hard way that you can overhydrate, then you've got the opposite problem of most people. I mean, the majority of people are either like right there at the hydrated line or underhydrated. And those people would be shocked to find out how much better they feel when they just have a little more water. Without knowing your situation, without knowing your activity levels, all these kind of things, what your job is, like the general advice I give is like, this is going to sound excessive, but I like to tell people go for like a gallon a day, right? And you don't have to be one of the people walking around with a big jug. You can be if you want, decorate it however you want, whatever. If I do that, I'm going to put like a big like Empire symbol on there or something. Empire, like the, not the show, but the Star Wars Empire. So I would put something like that on there. But anyway, like I just answered that like it was super serious. But I would say like you can have the gallon, or you can have like, I mean, I just basically like, this thing here is what is a 20 ounce. I've refilled this and drink it like constantly throughout the day. So I know I'm probably above a gallon. Not trying to be too awkward here. My urine is always like clear for the most part. You know, those kind of things. That's a good sign of being hydrated. My skin is like, it bounces back. If I pinch it, it doesn't like just kind of stay there. And like, they're all kind of signs of dehydration, but the most obvious one is you just feel like garbage. So like you want to avoid, dehydration, and some people don't realize they're dehydrated, and then when they up their water intake, that's cool. But I mean, if you have figured out that you are overhydrated, then I mean, just scale back until that's not the case. I would say go to a gallon a day. I would say for anybody, unless you are out if you're outdoors constantly, like, you know, let's say you work construction or you mow lawns or something like that. If you're outside in the heat and like, and or doing like a lot of physical activity, you're obviously going to require more. I would say like a lot more than a gallon. I would say for just about anybody, even if you are, you know, you just get up, drive to work, sit at a desk all day, drive back. Like even if you have a very sedentary indoors type job, a gallon a day is not going to hurt you. You're not going to overhydrate with that. It's going to help you. So I would say the sweet spot for the majority of people is a gallon a day, and then add more as you need it if you are at a place where, like, if your job is, like, more demanding, you're outside or something like that. That's how I'd answer that. Let's see. Sarah says is there such a thing as eating too many fruits throughout the day? Fruits for their own sake, no. I mean, like, fruits are, you know, you have your, like, anti-sugar people out there who are going to tell you, like, oh, you should not eat fruit, or you should have, you know, and you're going to have your keto people, too, because the calories in fruit are carbs. So you're going to have your keto people who tell you that you should restrict fruit and things like that. But no, the fruit by itself, there's no reason you should not, you should, like, have a limit of fruits or whatever. They are very nutritious. They have a lot, the majority of them have a lot of fiber, which digest slowly and helps you feel more full, so you're not like hungry for other things that have less nutritional value. The only thing that I would say you have to watch out for with the fruit is, I mean, they are much higher calorie than like vegetables. So like we're all, the fruit themselves, no reason, but the calories in the fruits, just like any other food, it is something you need to pay attention to, because if you have a piece of fruit and you have veggies, you're going to get a lot more calories from the fruit than you do the veggies because of the carbs from the sugars in there. And it is, you know, it's fructose. It's, you know, so if you're having that, like you're going to have more calories from it. So I would say just manage it. If weight loss is a goal or maintaining like weight is a goal and you're not trying to gain, you really don't want to like by any means, like not gain any body fat, but also like you're trying to lose it, especially you really want to pay attention to that. Just like any other calories. I would not say like fruit for their own sake, there's no such thing as eating too many of them, no. Now, if you're chugging fruit juice a lot, like if you're somebody who goes to like fruit juice rather than water, and you've said like, hey, you know, I've cut out sodas, I've replaced it with fruit juice, you still have to watch that because even though nutritionally it's better for you than things like soda, it still has a lot of calories that are not filling you up. You're having the stuff, some of the benefits from the fruit, but without the fiber that fills you up. So liquid calories, when you're trying to lose weight, lose body fat, is something that I try to steer people away from, not because they're bad, but because they just add those calories. So, okay, hope that makes sense. Debbie says, is there a miracle button? Just kidding. People just have to remember it doesn't happen overnight if you want it, work for it. That's true. I mean, you do have to, you know, obviously there you have to, I think a lot of times, I mean, especially in our culture, in our society, on social media now, I mean, the fitness space is saturated and you have a billion people out there like, buy my 30-day challenge or like flat abs in 6 weeks or whatever. And I hate that. I will tell you, if you see that kind of stuff, it is a red flag. Avoid people who put a specific time frame on your fitness goals. They don't know your life. They don't know what you're struggling with. They don't know your schedule. They don't know your money. They don't know anything. So don't. If somebody's throwing out that kind of stuff, ignore that. Run away from that. Please, I'm begging you to avoid that. I got a little passionate there. I know. Avoid those kind of people who are telling you, stick to this. You know, do by my whatever week challenge. Now, if they're promising you some kind of goal that's going to happen in those weeks, avoid that, please. Because of all of that, and because our culture in general just wants convenience and things quick, people want their fitness goals to happen quickly, and it's just typically not the case. I mean, it does take a long time. You have to, you know, especially if you're trying to lose a lot of body fat, or you're like really skinny and wanting to gain a lot of muscle, whatever. I mean, whatever your goal, if you're a long way from that goal, it's going to take you a long time. Now, if you're somebody who just wants to drop a couple of body fat percentages or drop, you know, 20 pounds or whatever, you can achieve that pretty quickly. But it's still not going to be overnight. It's still not going to be in a week. At least it shouldn't be if you want it to be sustainable. So I agree with you, Debbie. I would just say some people, you just have to focus on one step at a time rather than just like going all in, because that all or nothing mindset will kill you. Zach says, what do you think of Tom Brady's workout and nutrition plans? Okay, so I don't really know much about it. I've read a little about it. I don't – shocker, I don't watch football. Like, I don't really watch much of any sports unless you consider pro wrestling a sport. And I know most people don't. So, Tom Brady, his workout plan, what I know of it is that it's heavy on bands, like resistance bands. He doesn't, like, to my knowledge, it's very limited. But to my knowledge, he doesn't use, like, barbells, dumbbells. He uses resistance bands, and he gets a bunch of massages, right? So, like, that's what I understand about his training plan. And then his food, his nutrition plan, I'll take these one at a time. And then his nutrition plan is, like, mostly whole foods, you know what I mean? And he's got some kind of rules in there of, like, meal timing. And I've seen something weird about, like, not eating fruits with other – fruits is a theme today. Like, not eating fruits with other – combining that with other meals or something, or with other types of foods for whatever reason. So on the training piece of it, I'm going to tell you – well, let me say the food thing first because it's going to be more positive. Anybody who advocates eating like a more of a whole food diet, I'm always a fan of that. You know, like I wouldn't pay attention too much to like the rules, like the meal timing things. Now, like there are some things with meal timing. Like if you have some protein first thing in the morning, that's going to be helpful. If you have, you know, carbs and protein before and after your workout, that's going to be helpful. But for the most part, you're not having to like eat on a tight schedule, things like that. Like meal timing isn't a big deal. Fruits with other foods, he's probably just talking about the calories. I don't know, but you know, I would not care about that at all. But generally, like I like his meal plan if he's eating mostly whole foods, you know, whole foods meaning like foods with one ingredient that you can like find in nature, things like meats and vegetables and fruits and grains and things like that. If that's the kind of stuff he's eating, then I mean, I think it's good. The question is, what do I think of it? So I think it's good. The workout plan, what I'll say, if he's exclusively doing what the media says he's doing, which I'm sure has originated with him at some point, doing just resistance bands and doing massages. I mean, first thing I'll tell you is like, you have to think this guy is an elite athlete. Okay. Like he is people who are elite athletes are not like the majority of us. Like this guy could probably just do like push-ups and some squats and he would still be a far more impressive physical specimen, both athletically and visually, than I or most anybody else in the general public, because he is an elite athlete. That's why he makes all the money he does, plays for the team he does, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, don't compare yourself, unless you are also an elite athlete, with an elite athlete, because you're not going to get the kind of results that this guy's going to get. You know what I mean? From his workout plan. That being said, bands are not, I mean, I like resistance bands. I like them for stretches. I like them. I'm just now like learning about like, and experimenting here soon with using them as additions to barbell movements. I like them for body weight routines when people don't want to go to the gym or don't have access to like weights for whatever reason. But never in a million years would I tell somebody who wants to go to the gym or who is already accustomed to go to the gym to cut out their barbell or dumbbell training and go to banded training, because you can't, there's only a certain amount of like resistance that you can get with that. You know what I mean? At some point the bands are, you're not going to be able to handle this many bands. It's going to get super awkward. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that if you're first establishing a baseline of strength and don't have access to a gym and stuff, cool. If you just are already like doing barbell and or dumbbell training and want to experiment with this, like in addition to it, cool. But I would never in a million years advise you to like go this route above like a traditional strength training routine with like barbells and or dumbbells. It's just, I just don't see a reason to do that at all. And then with the massages, I mean, yeah, if you can get massages, great. I mean, I don't have money to like go get 2 daily massages every day or whatever, like he does, like before and after his sessions. And even if I did, I probably wouldn't do that, but I would probably try to get one like once a week or something. So, I mean, if you got the money to go get like these nice massages, cool. I mean, I think it's a good idea. Like massages do work. They do help, you know, relieve, build up and pain and all this kind of stuff and tightness. So, I mean, if you get a proper massage, like if you just go in and get like the, you know, they're just kind of like rubbing on you, it feels nice massage. It's not really doing anything except feeling nice. But if you go in and get like a real sports massage, shout out to Lawrence with Massage and KC, who gave me like the only one of those I've ever had in my life. That was awesome. But if you, those kind of massages that are really, really going to do a lot for you are not going to feel great while you're getting them. They're going to probably like be a little uncomfortable, if not painful, but like they are going to loosen you up and stuff. So yeah, I mean, overall workout routine, I would not recommend it to most people. Most people are not elite athletes. Who can do whatever and feel and get great results. Nutrition wise, again, focus on like what's going to work. And if you're doing anything with whole foods like this, it's a good idea. All right. I think that's all the questions I had ahead of time. Let's see. Does anybody else have any questions? If you have questions, let me know, comment them, and I'll be happy to answer. But I have answered all the questions that I had beforehand. And wow, this is the longest live I've done. Hopefully this answered everything you guys had. I will end this. And if you see this later, comment and I'll answer. Happy Wednesday. Hey, quick reminder, Pastors Getting Fit Facebook page, if you'd like a little free community there, people on the journey with you, review this wherever you listen to podcasts and maybe share it with another pastor who you think might benefit from it, in a loving way, of course. And if you think you might be interested in online coaching, somebody to kind of help you figure out what to do and help you stick to it, 251-635-8055. That's my number. Shoot me a text. We'll set up a time to call. Yeah, hope you have a good day. Hope you enjoyed this episode.